I believe in God.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He ascended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Faith is therefore arrested by constables and led away. The jury members stand and converse in small groups in low voices. Mr. Cotton departs upon his horse without conversation with anyone. The widow attends to Winthrop until long after all had left, and he has finished his meticulous recording of the matter officially, written his entry to his satisfaction, and prayed upon his knees. It is after midnight before she may sleep. She will rise twice in the night to keep the fire in the hearth, and will awake at dawn to prepare his meal. In his sermon on the following Sabbath, her former mentor, John Cotton, fearing for his own credibility, announces his satisfaction with her conviction, chastises the community of her adherents, some among the congregation that morning, and describes her meetings as a promiscuous and filthy coming together of men and women without distinction of relation of marriage, and condemns her opinions that fester like a gangrene and spread like leprosy and will eat out the very bowels of religion. In the night of the second Sabbath, following her trial, alone in an isolate cottage without wood for a fire and only a single candle to comfort him in the bitter night, a pining son of Plymouth Colony by the retching sea corresponds upon his miserable loneliness to his widowed mother away in England. Marvelous it be to see how wickedness did grow and break forth here, in a land where the same is so much witnessed against and so narrowly looked unto, and severely punished, as in no place more or so much have I known or heard of, in so much as they have been censured by good men even in the severity of their punishments, and yet all this could not suppress it, and the breaking out of sundry notorious sins. This year, so many sad precedents and instances, especially drunkenness and profaneness and lewdnesses, not only incontinency between persons unmarried, for which many, both men and women, have been punished sharply enough, but some married persons also sinning, and that which is worse, sodomy and buggery, things I might fearful to name, break forth in this land oftener than once. I say it may justly be marveled at, and cause us to fear and tremble at the consideration of our corrupt natures. One reason may be that the devil may carry a greater spite against the churches of Christ and gospel here, by how much more they endeavor to preserve holiness and purity amongst them. Satan hath more power in these heathen lands, as some have thought, than in more Christian nations, especially over God's servants in them. Another reason may be that it may be in this case as it is with waters, when their streams are stopped or dammed up. When they get passage, they flow with more violence and make more noise and disturbance than when they are suffered to run quietly in their own channels. So, wickedness being here more stopped by strict laws, so it cannot run, searches everywhere, and at last breaks out where it gets vent. At the dawn of the Sabbath on the third week following the trial of Faith Coxwell, a juvenile, age 14 or 15, one Billy Granger, a debentured servant to Love Brewster of Duxbury in Plymouth Colony, tried at Salem, sentenced to die, is hung at its permanent gibbet for, quote, buggery with a mare, a cow, two goats, divers sheep, two calves, and a turkey, close quote, according to court records. In accordance to the commandment of God in Leviticus, and so codified by the colony, the sodomized animals are each and severally also slaughtered, and their carcasses buried at night in hidden places. Upon the Sabbath of the fourth week, still imprisoned at Newton, having composed correspondence, a letter to her daughter, Faith bids the magistrate Winthrop to deliver it, but he refuses to take it from her hand, saying that it shall not be delivered, and so commands her guard. He tells her she is to be thought dead to her child, and her child shall be delivered to Christ, and she shall be instructed not to speak to her mother again. She asks, "Who shall raise my daughter?" "Her rightful father, who shall bring her to proper obedience," Winthrop replies. "Why do you come to me if you mean no charity to me? I am here to bear your witness for Christ, as is my duty," Winthrop replies. She put her folded letter into the bosom of her gown and sat on the crib of corn which had been laid for her bed. She looks up at him without speaking. He tires of her unstinting stare, and exasperated by the noise of incessant crickets, he departs angrily. Upon the Sabbath of the fifth week of her imprisonment, Faith receives Mr. Cotton at the twilight of her retirement. She, in her shawl and chemise, her blanket about her shoulders, sits across from him at the table in the small cell. The fire stoked by the widow in his honor is left to flare and burnishes the two of them as she bows and begs her leave and departs without leave from either, neither of whom felt it necessary to dismiss her. Mr. Cotton tells Faith that Williams had proffered refuge for her in Providence, and that Winthrop is agreeable. "Am I to go without my daughter?" Mr. Cotton is mute. "Am I to go without my own hope?" Mr. Cotton says he is permitted to say no more than he has. She turns away from him to lay upon the bed, her back against him, and he departs after attempting to explain himself with halting words, failing to receive response from Faith. Upon the Sabbath of the sixth week, Reverend Cotton returns to Newton. He asks Faith to prepare for her departure. She says nothing to him for an interval, a space that stood before him like another person between them, like a crowd of persons before him, observing him, accusing him silently, Then she says simply, "I am prepared." Upon the Sabbath of the seventh week, it is the holy day called Septuagesima, and on its occasion, certain lewd persons began carnival at Marymount, which is to say, a celebration of corrupt flesh, which must be shrieved. And so on this day, the community of God shall cease to sing Alleluia, for God is dead, and the kingdom of heaven is fallen, and we lie with the corpse of the world. In First Church, reading the very sermon for this occasion that Faith had written for him on the first year of his service at Boston, Reverend Cotton becomes dismayed by the gospel itself, wherein it says, "Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last, for many be called, but few chosen." And so, Reverend Cotton, stopping his sermon, his eyes starting like one seeing a terrible thing, quits his pulpit in a sudden inspiration, takes his horse immediately, and rides at a gallop to Newton, and bursts the door to enter the cell of Faith at twilight, finding it dark and without the warmth of fire, and finding her upon her bed, without a breath of life in her body. Beyond the boundary of the colony, at the home of the Quakeress, where Williams has led him, Mr. Cotton gave the letter to Hope that her mother had written for her. Williams had relented to show Mr. Cotton where she had been hidden from Winthrop, only upon the oath of Mr. Cotton, which Williams knew to be his worthy bond. He does not tell her that her mother has taken her own life. He tells no one this. Hope sits apart from the others, in a corner, on a chair, leaning toward the fireplace to read the letter in its fluttery light. Dearest Hope, all the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. To the place from which the rivers come, there they return again. I am ever present. Never sleeps the eye that reads the heart and authors the mind. I am thy loving mother, Faith.